the Mills Fleet Farm Studios. WTVX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGVZ Eden Prairie. A Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
That's hope to left. Down for a hit. Vargas being waved around. He'll score. Schaefer to second base with an RBI double. Three straight hits, and the Twins are on the board. Breaking ball, walloped to left. Off the wall. It's in play. It'll tie the game. Dozier with his second double, and the Twins have tied it at four. Another fastball drill to left. Way back and gone. A three-run home run for Torrey Hunter. A big two-out home run by Torrey Hunter.
A line drive home run by Torrey Hunter. His third home run of the year.
You know what was more impressive? That was, by the way, that was Fox Sports North. Bert Blyleven and both of our pals, Nick Bremer. Did you see Torrey's bat flip? He is massive. Expert at bat. It went at least three times. It did like the triple spin.
You should get extra points for that.
There
extra
should
runs.
Be. That's impressive.
Style points.
Yeah, that's super some style. You know, you should, if you can get it to go four times for each base, now that would be impressive. But it had to go at least three. And you know what's funny about this? I'm watching Jordan Schaefer is 3-for-3, had a couple of ribbies. You know, he had to score two runs. So Rosario came up and he figured, uh-oh, I'd better start playing here. So they got a good game, and actually, for them, they wind up they had a hell of a game. I mean, 13 hits, win. I mean, they're not playing the greatest of teams, but still, you know, they're 14-12 now. Minnesota Twins. You know what's going to happen? They are going to, because right now they're still everyone, you know, in town. It's overshadowed by what's happening with the Wild. Down 2-0 play tonight against Chicago. Whenever the series is over, or whenever the Wild are done playing, you know, whether they lose in this series or go on and throughout, then people will say, all right, the Twins have been doing great. Let's watch them. They'll go on a 10-game losing streak when all the attention is back on them. Right now, there's no pressure on these guys because they're having a grand old time.
Yeah.
8-7 last night, and finally, Phil Hughes gets himself a win. Six innings, five earned runs was not a great outing for him, but It's a win, which he hasn't had. Perkins got his ninth save.
Mm-hmm.
They are becoming, again, you beat the bad teams and try to be competitive with the good ones, and then you've got something going.
And that's something we haven't seen in
years.
Minneapolis quite some time.
In 4 years, you haven't seen that. And guys are starting to certainly come around. I mean, Maurer 0-for-4, but he's batting .290. Dozier's at .248. Santana's at .269. Now, wait a minute. Is that possible? They should be playing some, you know, we should have been playing the music for him. He had a walk last night.
No.
Unless I'm mistaken.
That doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound like the Santana we know, but he did. He had a walk last night. His first walk of the season.
Getting better.
Wow. He had a walk. One walk in, I'll tell you exactly what it does. One walk in 93 plate appearances. Holy cow. He's got more stolen bases than walks. He's got two stolen bases. Been caught stealing twice. But for him to get a walk, and he's got his on-base percentage up to .284. He's on fire. Yep. I like the guy, actually. I do like him, but they can't put him in the leadoff until he starts getting walks.
Yeah. And if you're not going to get walks, you have to at least work a pitch count and make the guy throw to you.
No, what you need to do is lean into the pitch to get hit a few times to get that on-base percentage up.
I was really good at finding the baseball.
Were you?
It finding me.
Now, did you ever watch Cheers? Oh, you know what? We'll talk about that later. We have our caller, and we are very pleased to be joined by... Well, let me assume... This is Eric, right?
Yes, sir.
Eric Kendricks, Vikings, second-round draft pick. Eric, this is Bob Sansevier. I put out on Twitter, if people have questions, they are flooding us with questions because people are excited about you joining the Vikings, and I saw the comments you made. Sounds like you're very excited to be joining them, too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is a dream come true. I couldn't be more happy to play for the organization.
Now, how exciting is it? Now, did you and Anthony Barr talk at all about, hey, what if we wound up together, former college roommates, now together again? But did you ever talk about that possibility?
I mean, we didn't really talk about the possibility because, you know, with the draft, anything could happen. But, you know, definitely last season and things like that, you know, we both talked to each other how, you know, we missed playing with each other and missed that camaraderie on the field we had with one another. So, I mean, it's pretty fitting that I'm back with them.
How important is that and will that be for you and him? Because you guys must instinctively know what the other one is going to do and how you're going to react on a play.
Yeah, you know, I think having the camaraderie with your teammates as well as, you know, building relationships off the field is very important, especially the linebacker position. A lot of communication is to be had. And, I mean, it just makes it all the better, you know, when you're playing for somebody you care about and someone that you can trust.
Now, Eric, talking to Eric Kendricks, the Vikings second-round pick, linebacker, did they tell you we want you to concentrate on the middle or we want you to concentrate outside? What did they tell you about where you're expected to be?
I haven't really went over the details yet. I talked to them at the combine, and that's pretty much all the communication I've had with them until draft day. So, you know, the logistics of my position or my role hasn't been really discussed. But I can tell you I'm just going to work hard and learn the playbook as fast as I can and do what I can to help the team.
Are you more comfortable either spot?
I'm comfortable just on the field. You know, any package, third down, first and second, it doesn't matter. You know, I can cover out. I can cover tight ends. It doesn't matter. I can be behind the ball as well. I'm just a comfortable linebacker.
Well, you're not. You're also a guy that you're not a two down linebacker. When the ball is in play, you've been on the field for every play. You don't come off. You stay on when it's passing situations too.
Yeah, it was especially in college. You know, it's very rare that I ever left the field at all. So I mean, like I said, I want to be in there for all the plays and. I want to be in there every situation imaginable.
You know, I'm not going to hit you with all of them because there's quite a few, but one of the Twitter questions that somebody sent in, I think you'll get amused by it too because somebody wants to see how the rivalry is. Who's better, the better all-around player, him, meaning you, or Anthony Barr?
We're totally different players, you know. We had the same coach in college, and, I mean, I think our work ethic and a lot of our athleticism is a lot of the same, but, you know, our body's tough. Styles are different, and you know there is some different things we do. But I don't know. I'm not going to throw Anthony under the bus or anything like that.
But I just wanted to give you a little mindset of how fans are, because
if I'm a betting man, you know, I'm always going to go with myself. I'm a very confident backer, and you know, I work hard, so I like to think. You know, a little friendly competition, I guess.
Now, I'm going to say this, and you could explain. You might be the most confident 5-year-old I've ever talked to.
You guys found a leap year birthday out?
Yeah, well, I saw the comment you made because I think you said you're only 5, right?
Yeah, I'm only 5 years old. You know, I think I'm turning 6 this next year, so it's a pretty big deal for me and my family.
What do you? Because you were a leap year baby. You're born, you know, on the day for leap year. Do you celebrate it the day before or the day after?
So when it's I have a lot of family members who text me, you know, the 28th, and then I have a lot of family members who call me on the 1st. It's like actually it's really divided. You know, my brother will text me on the 28th, and my mom will call me on the 1st. You know, it's very divided. So it's just kind of what other people prefer.
Well, I mean, it's kind of neat though, because you're basically a 2 days added if you want.
Oh yeah, I definitely have a 3 or 4 day period where it's my birthday. When it's not actually my birthday.
I think that's pretty neat. Now, let me ask you about this. You've taught Anthony Barr, you certainly know him. You probably were in touch. What were the big questions you had about, not the Vikings, but Minnesota? You must have heard about how cold it can get here.
Oh, yeah. You know, I need to buy a lot of sweatshirts.
You need more than sweatshirts.
Yeah, this SoCal life, you know, I got a lot of tank tops and, you know, things like that. So I'm be trading those in for some jackets and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't mind at all. I just got to learn how to drive in the snow.
Well, it's actually a lot of people in Minnesota need to learn how to drive in the snow. So you're not the only one. You're not the only one on that. But just get yourself a nice big truck that has a lot of metal around it, and you'll be fine.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, get that 4-wheel drive going. Now, when are you in Minnesota now?
No, I'll be down there on Thursday.
Okay, and then you'll be here because I know that they've got. You'll be here for how long? Will you stay for a little bit and then head back again, or when will you actually come back and stay in Minnesota?
So I'll be down there for about, I think, a month and some change. I've graduated already, so I'll be working with the team for a while.
So you don't have to worry. You don't have any school responsibilities then, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, I'm done. So I'll be out there for this weekend, and I'll continue to stay for the remainder of the month, I think.
What was it like when you heard your name being called, and the fact that you knew you were going to a place, and not only to any place, a place that included your former college roommate?
Oh, you know, so I got the call, and you know, it wasn't the Minnesota's pick yet, so I caught the call and I kind of thought it was a team that was up on the board. And so when they said, "Are you ready to come to Minnesota?" I was kind of like, aren't you guys? Because I thought the whole draft process worked like you get the call like 20 seconds before you get picked.
Oh.
So I had no idea. So I was kind of like, Minnesota, is that the team that's ready to pick? And then all of a sudden I saw them pop up on the board and I'm like, oh man, I'm really going to go to Minnesota. Like, and then there was definitely a minute I was in complete shock of what was happening. And I was kind of just quiet and just kind of like complying. But then after that, I just started screaming and yelling, and I was full of excitement.
That's neat. Now, if there were two teams you were really hoping, was Minnesota and Philadelphia the two? Because your brother plays for the Eagles. He's a linebacker with them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that would have been a dream in itself, playing with my brother Michael. But another dream would be playing with my best friend. So that's another cool thing that happened.
That's not a bet. Now, have you and your brother? Your dad played in the CFL, right?
Yeah, my dad played in the CFL.
Now, is that something where you...
He played for UCLA as well.
But do you give any crap to him or family members about the fact you guys are in the NFL and he only got to the CFL?
Oh, no. It's all love, you know. He's our number one supporter with my mom, so, I mean, it's just all love.
Now, was he a linebacker, too?
He was a running back at UCLA. And he did the good things. He always told me how he beat SC. So
that's always a big deal. Yeah.
He told me he never lost at SC, but I beat him three times. So anytime I get to talk about that, it's a good time.
That nothing shabby about that. Now, Michael, that you worked out with Michael and Anthony Barr and Jeff Locke, right, in the off season?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So you know, you're not just coming in here without people. You know, Barr. You and Barr going to be roommates again?
Who knows? You know. I haven't even got down there, so we'll figure that out when I get down there.
Well, we're talking to Eric Kendricks, a Viking second round pick. Eric, what I would suggest is he's the first round pick making the bigger money. Let him pay for the apartment or the house. Just tell him you get groceries every couple of weeks and help out.
Oh yeah, make him pay. But I'm the rookie though, so I mean shoot.
Don't fall into that rookie trap thing where they make you do all those stupid things like sing your fight song and pick up the bill. You don't want to fall into that one. So now you have you had a chance to talk to any other of the players? I mean, have you did you meet Chad Greenway, or have you talked to him, or have you talked to any? I'm sure you talked to your position coach and your defensive coordinators.
Yeah, I've talked to them. They passed the phone around, you know, when I got drafted and things like that. But I haven't really, you know, talked to them thoroughly without outside of the combine. So I'm looking forward to that, and it should be fun.
And you also, when you get here, you'll meet other players. And now, do you know anyone else on the team besides Locke and Anthony Barr?
No.
Yeah, but it'll be amazing. By come August, these will all be your best friends. That's got to be the neat part of it too. The excitement of knowing you're going to an NFL camp, and these guys are going to be like your brothers.
Oh, I know. That's the best part about football, honestly, in my opinion, is the relationship deals.
Now, one of the other things I wanted to ask you, because it's one of the Twitter things, your game, what do you consider the best part of it?
I just like to speak my preparation, you know. I'm obviously a good football player, and I'm athletic, and I can do things, but I definitely prepare to do those things. You know, I don't just go in the game and rely on my athleticism.
Well, one guy has high hopes for you, because his question was, ask him if he's going to lead the NFL in tackles. Now, that wouldn't be too shabby, would it?
No, not at all. You know, I'm going to try.
Well, that would probably put you in the middle, because if you let him from the outside, that would really be something. Now, when you played at in college and high school, were you also a linebacker in high school, or did you play other positions?
I was a linebacker. I played running back. I played punter. I played receiver. I played quarterback. I did it all in high school. Yeah.
You're like the decathlete of football players to play all those positions.
Yeah, you see my high school highlights, so I'm kind of doing everything.
No, that's great. That's really great. And Eric, it's great talking to you, because you sound like you're having a great time. You sound like a great guy, and I really appreciate you taking this time with us, and we look forward to talking to you again and seeing you on the field.
Oh, no problem. I mean, I appreciate the love, and I can't wait to get down there and get started.
You have a huge amount of fans. People were excited when you got drafted because a lot of people thought you were going in the first round. I'm sure you did, too.
Oh, I mean, the draft works in mysterious ways, so this is a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, you wound up with the right team. Eric, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
All right.
All right. Eric Kendricks, Viking second-round pick. He's a really nice kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun talking to him because you can tell he's enthusiastic.
He's ready to go. You can tell.
Well, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, Anthony Barr's a good guy, too. I mean, it's a good combination of getting both these guys because they will know what the other one does on the field.
Hopefully there's no real rivalry between him and Everson Griffin or Taylor Mays because they're SC boys.
Well, they'll have to become – we should have asked them that. They'll have to become brothers on the field. You should have piped up with that. Where were you?
I was sleeping.
Yeah, probably. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Thank you again to Eric Kendricks. Really nice guy. Really good player. We'll take a quick break. Come right back. Little threesome question. By the way, let's give away. We got a couple pairs of tickets to the Twins game tomorrow. 651-989-9105 is the number. 651-989-9105. You give us a call. We'll tell you how you win them.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
It's the magic number.
651-989-9105.
It's the magic number.
We're going to have a little contest along with the threesome. 651-989-9105. We got room for one more. You call in for Twins tickets to tomorrow's game. Let's start with our first caller. This is Dave from Plymouth?
No, that's second caller.
Oh, who's
this? Greg.
Greg.
Matamidai.
Greg from Matamidai. My apologies, Greg.
How are you doing?
Good. Greg, we're going to make this easy for you. We're going to have a little spelling bee on Twins players. And matter of fact, there's two Eduardos on the team. You just have to spell Nunez. Spell Nunez, and you advance to the second round. Maybe win if the other two guys get them wrong.
N-U-E-N-E-Z.
You're going to have to hold on here because that was not quite right. It was N-U-N-E-Z, but you could still win because the other guys can get it wrong. All right, this is Dave from Plymouth.
Yes.
Dave, you heard what we're doing here? A little spelling bee?
Yep, I sure did.
You get the other Eduardo, Escobar.
Escobar, it's E-S-C-O-B-A-R.
Dave, you're still in the running here.
All right.
Greg from Matamida, I'm sorry about that. That was a good shot at Nunez, but it didn't quite do it. We have a caller on line three.
Mark from Lake Elmo.
Mark, we have two Eduardos and an Eddie. Spell Rosario.
Rosario. R-O-S-A-R-I-O.
You go to round two with Dave. All right, Greg, again, I'm sorry, but that was a great shot. We go now to round two, and they don't get much easier. Well, they do get easier, but we'll see. You know what? Dave, spell Brian Dunsing. Spell Dunsing.
Dunsing, D-U, I don't think it's N. I think it's, is it D-U-E-N-S-I-N-G?
You are correct. Wow. And now we go, I'm sorry, who's our third caller?
Mark.
Mark, of course. Mark, you get an easy one, too. You get Ricky Nolasco. Spell Nolasco.
Nolasco. N-O-L-A-S-C-O.
Oh, you are so confident when you say that. We go to round three. All right, let's, you know what? We'll make this, we'll keep it easy. Dave, spell Jordan Schaefer.
Ooh, let's see. Schaefer. S-C-H. A-E-F-E-R.
You're going to have to hope that Mark gets his wrong because there's no E. It's S-C-H-A-F-E-R.
Oh, bummer.
That's all right. We all like vowels. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, are you ready for
sure
the tickets? You get it right, you get them. Trevor Plouffe. Spell Plouffe.
P-L-E-U-F-F.
We go to another round. P-L-O-U-F-F-E. It's the rest of them are easy. You know what? We're going to have to act. You know what? What we're going to do? We are going to take it. You a Wild fan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, who isn't? Right? We're going to switch over. We could have given you Maurer or Hunter, but let's make it a little interesting. Are you ready?
Yep.
Spell for us Nino Niederreiter. Spell Niederreiter.
Oh, man, that's tough. Meteorite. M-I-E-D-E-R-E-I-T-E-R.
Oh, you came, you came so close. There was double R's in there.
Double R's. Oh, man.
It's all right. That's still not bad. All right, let's Mark, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, you got this is your chance again, Mark. One chance after another. Spell Darcy Kemper. Spell Kemper.
Kemper. K.
That's a good start.
K E U M P E R.
If you transfix the U and the E, you were golden. This thing's never gonna end. Now let's go back to Dave. All right, Dave. You ready for another one?
Yep.
Kyle Brodziak.
Oh, Brodziak. B R O D Z I A K, I believe.
And you are correct.
All right.
All right. Now we go to Mark. Mark, if you you get this one, you put it into yet another. You know, if you get this one, we're going to switch it from spelling to maybe some mathematics.
Okay.
Spell for us. Let's see. How about Jason Pominville?
Pominville, P-O-M-M-I-N-V-I-L-L-E.
Spell it again. I'm sorry. Go again there. P-O, did you say?
Yep, P-O. I think it's M and I-N, then V-I-L-L-E. So one M, two L's.
You guys are knocking it out of the darn park. Now, you know what? We're going to change things up a little bit. We're going to go from that, because you guys are too good at spelling. And here's what the – are you ready for your question here?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go back to the Twins, all right? I need one of – I need you guys to tell me, if you can, how many – let's see what we can – let's see what would be a good, easy question for you. How – all right, okay, here, this is a good one. Joe Mauer's on-base percentage. Dave, you go first.
Oh, boy. On base, I'll go with 320.
All right, now we go to Mark. Mark, what is Joe Mauer's on-base percentage? Whoever's closer wins the tickets.
I'll go 321.
Ooh, you played this game before. Mark, the on-base percentage is 368. You and Dave, you guys were knocking it around and knocking it out. Both of you had a great, great round there. So, but Mark, you wind up winning the tickets.
All righty.
Good job on your part. Dave, great job on your part. And I appreciate it. We're going to be giving away tickets again a little bit later. So please come back. Dave, you're so darn good at this. I'm sorry that you wound up, you didn't wind up beating Mark, but you had a great answer on every way, too. That was impressive. The stress of that. Wow. All right, let's put Mark on hold so you get the information. How about those threesome of questions?
Hey, Bob, it's Mr. X.
Yes, Mr. X.
I have three questions for you.
Yes,
number one, with Chris Stewart out tonight, will the Wild be better off with another speedy player in the lineup?
They'd be a lot better off if they had speedy guys who can get the puck in the net. That's been their problem. They need to, obviously, they need to turn up their game tonight. And I don't know that one player will make a difference. I mean, Howell was in the other night. He's speedy. That didn't seem to make a difference.
Stewart's just Vanek are probably too slow. Well, plotting,
but
you don't want
Vanek out because there's always a chance he can do something. But
and it's looking like it might be a line of Nino Niederreiter, Mikko Koivu, and Jordan Schrader.
Well, Schrader can, you know, he does have a little bit. You know, he's a feisty little fella.
Yeah.
So hopefully it works out for them, and they got it. They lose tonight, and it's over. You know, down 3-0, they're not coming back from that.
It'd be very tough
now, against
Chicago.
Can't
say it's completely. Not possible.
But against Chicago, I say it's not. There's no chance of that happening.
Pretty much say 99% sure.
Going down 0-3. Question two.
Number two. Now that the draft is done, there are new win-loss projections for NFL teams. One projection has the Vikings going 9-7. Is this accurate?
You know, that's probably an optimistic number. A lot of it depends on Adrian Peterson. Does he play, and does he play at a level he played like when he ran for over 2,000 yards and he ran with a chip on his shoulder? They have a tough schedule. I mean, when you add some variables in, it's one of the, if not the toughest schedule in the NFL. So getting a 9-7 record would be a pretty darn good record, and also would probably put them on the cusp of the postseason. It could take the 10-6 though. 11-5 would get them in.
They said the projection I saw said 9-7, and that would put us second place in the North.
If that puts you second place, that doesn't assure you getting in, though.
Better than the Lions and Bears, though, so
well,
that means the Vikings are getting better.
It's not enough. You want to get in. They're going to have to, well, they're going to have to win some games against some tough opponents. And yeah. Teddy Bridgewater should be a lot better. This team should be a lot better. Our guy, Eric Kendricks could make it a lot better, Eddie.
Yeah.
Too many Eduardos and Eddies on the Twins. No, I think it's very possible. But it's going to be a tough season. They get through the regular season and have like a 10-6 record, they're going to be in pretty good shape for the postseason because they will have faced tough playoff caliber teams.
Yeah.
Was that two or three? That was two.
We got one last quick one.
What is it?
And lastly, Phil Hughes finally picked up his first win. Did the Twins make a mistake by giving him a contract extension?
No, but I think when the end of the year comes, I think his numbers will come down. He's over 5 now, his ERA. He had some rough outings early. They still think that he is a good player, but you have to do that because you can't risk getting these guys, you know, ready to leave and in the mindset of leaving. Sometimes they jump a little ahead of it. I don't have a problem with what they did, but then again, it's not my money. Let's take a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk to Tim Lammers. Actually, Tim Lammers, syndicated movie journalist. There are guys. Now, let me ask you this question. You know who Jason Statham is, right? The transporter. He's in those the movies with Schwarzenegger,
yeah,
and Stallone. What the
Expendables.
Heck? Expendables. He's an action hero. Did you know he was an athlete before? Not a martial artist either.
What kind of athlete?
Would it shock you to know? Well, we could tell you when we come back.
Was he a goalie?
No, he was not. This one will shock you. He was a competitive diver.
Sweet.
Springboard diver. But we're going to talk to Tim about guys like that, actors who came from sports, not like the guy, I mean, everyone knows where The Rock came from, you know, wrestling, and he played a little football. You're making that squinty look. But we're going to talk about that with Tim, some of these actors, where they came from, what they did before they became actors. So I find that stuff fascinating. We'll talk to Tim when we return. We are joined by Tim Lammers, syndicated movie journalist. Catch his reviews on Care 11 News at 11 on Fridays. Mondays, he's on the Tom Bernard Show. It also appears on KQ. He also has a website, directconversations.com. Now, Tim, great talking to you.
Thank you, Bob.
I mentioned to Hellboy here about Jason Statham, which I had not realized. Some of the other people I knew, they had their involvement. I never knew. If you had asked me what type of athlete he was, I never would have guessed springboard diver.
Well, you know what? I guess it probably all helps. You know, I mean, obviously the guy's a martial arts expert. So, I mean, if you're talking about competition instead of training, or even training, I guess, for that matter. I mean, you would think that would be his main deal, but springboard diving, yeah. You got to love it, though. It's interesting how these people, you know, with all these different backgrounds, surface somehow and make it big.
Well, and another guy that, this guy, I mean, I knew about him, and I think he's one of the best character actors in movies, Vinnie Jones.
Yes. Yeah, he is. You know, I think he's terrific. Of course, he's been in a couple of Guy Ritchie movies. I think it was Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking
Barrels. That was his first one, yep.
But also, I actually interviewed him for a movie called X-Men: The Last Stand, where he played Juggernaut. And yeah, he's a hell of a you know, I think he's a great actor. But also, I mean, he's certainly built, isn't he? And I guess he got a lot of, is it yellow cards on the field there?
Yes, he might hold the record for the quickest yellow card ever.
I think that's it.
Three seconds into a match, he got a yellow card. But he was known as, basically, you know, like in hockey, you have your enforcers or your thugs, and that's what he was. And there's a photo of him that is one of the great photos of all time for soccer. He is reaching back. There's a guy behind him just screaming. You can see he's screaming. Vinnie Jones is reaching back and grabbing the guy's private parts giving him a nice squeeze.
Oh, man.
And the look on Vinnie's face, he's like growling as he does it, which I think is terrific. But I mean, when he's in a movie, he actually is the type of guy who's never been like in a starring role, but he commands the screen when he's on it.
Oh, my God. He definitely does. You know, that X-Men movie that I mentioned that he was in, I mean, it wasn't a favorite amongst critics, but man, I thought he was terrific as Juggernaut. You know, he had this metal helmet on,
yep.
and he does have this huge presence. And you got to remember, I mean, this guy really does have the height, and he's really built. I mean, a lot of these Hollywood actors are tiny. So he just loomed large over these people.
Now, actually, Tim, I'm going off on a little tangent here. Which of the Hollywood actors surprised you the most, just how tiny they are? Was it, Tom Cruise, or, you know who I whatever they say Rob Lowe is, I don't think he's much more than 5'4".
No, you know, it's kind of funny, Bob. I mean, last weekend I went to the Minneapolis Comic Con, and I had talked with this guy a couple times prior to this, Michael Rooker, who was on The Walking Dead and in Guardians of the Galaxy.
He's been a great movie. Yeah, he's been a great actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor all these years. The guy is no taller than I am, and I'm not quite 5'8". You know, it's just that these people have such of a larger-than-life presence on screen. It is pretty remarkable at how tiny these people are. But you know what? A long time ago, I was an extra, and I didn't quite make the final cut, for Mighty Ducks 3, and they brought out these boxes for Emilio Estevez to stand on because he was so small. So, I mean, it's not unusual for them to do that, to make them appear taller than they really are. I mean, Al Pacino is a short guy. Tom Cruise is little. Sylvester Stallone is little. I think he's 5'8". I mean, that's maybe average, but, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are a lot shorter than that.
Well, how short is Estevez? I know this was an Alan Ladd thing. Alan Ladd, I think, was a great actor in the 40s and into the 50s, but he was only 5'4", and I know they used boxes for him to stand on. How tall is Estevez? Is he 5'4", or shorter than that?
He's probably about 5'4", 5'5", actually. I guess, with the Mighty Ducks, I can't remember exactly why they would have done it. I think maybe to give the impression he wasn't shorter than a lot
than
of
the kids.
Players or something. But I distinctly remember that because we were all in this press conference scene, and he was standing in the back. And maybe it was so he could see over the rest of us or something. I don't know.
Well, now, what about his brother? Have you ever seen Charlie Sheen? Charlie doesn't look like he's that short, or is he?
No. I mean, he doesn't appear to be, but, you know, I would imagine that if you see him in person. Because here's the other thing, Bob. The actors, you know, you see their bios on Internet Movie Database or whatever, it never tells the truth.
No.
You know? So unless you're right next to them, you really don't know.
Well, have you been next to Tom Cruise? Because that's the one everybody wonders about.
No, I have not. But I tell you who she took my breath away, honestly. I got out of a cab one time in Los Angeles outside the Four Seasons Hotel, and Sigourney Weaver was standing there.
She's tall, right?
Yes. She's like about 6 feet tall.
Really?
And she's just striking. I mean, it's just one of those deals where, Bob, I know this kind of sounds like a romance movie, but our eyes met. And it's like, but I was like, whoa, my God, that's Sigourney Weaver. First of all, you know, you're not used to seeing, around Minnesota anyway, a lot of famous actors standing around. But, again, she was remarkable because she was tall and striking. And, is taller than a lot of probably male Hollywood actors out there.
Well, she didn't say, like a lot of these Hollywood actors do, don't look at me.
Yeah,
or have you banned for looking
exactly.
in you in
no.
the eye? Nothing
she
like that.
She was really friendly, and in fact, I didn't say anything to her. I interviewed her later on the phone, and I told her that I felt goofy approach. I didn't want to approach you, but yeah, you're right. Especially on set, a lot of these actors, well, it'll be in the contract where the extras or whoever can't even look at them, which I think is ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Now, let's get back to the other thing. Another guy, and I knew about this too, and I loved some of the movies. Loved them in My Name Is Earl. Jason Lee was huge as a pro skateboarder.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've seen footage of him when he was skateboarding. He was one of the best in the world.
Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me that he does that. I mean, when you consider that he's in a slacker movie, like the Kevin Smith movies.
Yep, Mallrats.
You know, it kind of seems like, exactly, Mallrats. It kind of seems to go with the territory that he's a skateboarder, doesn't it?
It does. And also, I mean, he and Tony Hawk were the first two skateboarders to have airwalk shoes named after them.
Oh, is that right? Now, we're talking about famous folks that I'm trying to think, the guy that, Carson Daly. He actually golfed with Tiger Woods, or do you know that story?
Carson Daly, was he from around here?
No, he's not from around here, but he is, he's actually on NBC Today now, but he's had his late night program, and I think he also is like the Ryan Seacrest sort of guy on The Voice. And I believe he's as good,
he's a good golfer, you mean?
What's that?
You mean he's a really good golfer?
He's a really good golfer, yeah. And I'm trying to think, he's got some sort of connection to Tiger Woods.
Did they go to school together?
I'm not sure, but I know that there is a connection there, Bob. I'll have to look that up for you, and we can talk about it next time. But...
Well, here's one connection for you. His partner at one point was Tara Reid, so he was in. He was, you know, he has been with. Well, she was a celebrity at one point. Now she's probably yeah. Would you call her a C or D lister now?
Probably. Yeah, she's a D lister trying to. I think she's in the Sharknado movies. So she's
yes.
doing Z-grade, B-grade movies, but she's trying to work her way up to a C-grade, I think, right now.
Well, here's a little bit of background on his Carson Daly as a golfer. Lettered 4 years in college at Loyola Marymount University, and that's, you know, out in California. He dreamed of playing on the PGA Tour, but then he became, let's see, he abandoned his dreams of playing professionally and becoming a priest. Later got into radio and TV. Now he's the host of Late Night's Last Call with Carson Daly, or he had been. He's not doing that anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, talk about extreme, as an extreme background there. Wanting to be a priest and playing, yeah. wanting to be a pro golfer, and wow, that's interesting.
Well, and here he... his stepdad owned the golf shop at Riviera Country Club, so he was exposed to golf at an early age.
Zach is saying that he was O.J. Simpson's caddy and also played against Tiger in the American Junior Golf Association.
Is that right?
Good job there, Zach. Did you know that off the top of your head? Zach, take credit. Zach knew
yeah.
that.
We're telling everybody you said yeah.
He has nothing. He is a fount of minutia.
Well, I knew there was some sort of tie, and I'm glad that you clarified that, because
well,
he was bugging me. But that's pretty remarkable that he caddied for O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, and lived to tell about it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, it's kind of funny when I think everybody wants to disassociate themselves from O.J., but, of course, he's one of the more famous athletes turned actors in the Naked Gun movie.
That's a good point. And, by the way... some people like to disassociate themselves from Tiger Woods, like Lindsey Vonn. Those
yes.
kids aren't together anymore. I thought that would last.
Yeah, yeah, that was interesting. I didn't see that one coming. Not that I really cared.
No.
But the fact that she's from Minnesota, you know, I mean, I took interest in it for that reason, if any other reason. So, yeah, so that was a kind of an unexpected, or maybe wasn't an expected announcement. I mean, these Hollywood relationships, they just don't last, do they?
Oh, no, and basically whoever wrote the release for one wrote it for the other because they read almost identical.
Is that right? Yeah.
Hey, Tim, as always, this is a lot of fun. Let's pick up again next week. We'll talk about, just talking about movies is always fun.
Sure.
Tim Lammers, catch him on KARE 11 News at 11 on Fridays. Mondays on the Tom Bernard Digital Show, also on KQ. And you also want to find his website, directconversations.com, to check out what Tim has to say. Tim, thank you so much. Tim Lammers.
Thank you, Bob. Have a great week. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely. Thank you. Take a quick break. When we come back, going to talk to Dave Schwartz from the number 11 about the Wild, about the Twins. We'll talk about Dave can talk about anything. I got a feeling he may be over in St. Paul tonight, though. Catching the Wild against Chicago. We'll talk to Dave when we get back.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We are back in studio. His segment starts in a little bit. Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense. But we are joined now by Dave Schwartz from KARE 11. Talking a little Wild, talking a little Twins. My God, Dave, look at all these teams are unstoppable. Well, the Wild are stoppable, but the Twins, you know what I predict? Whenever the Wild are done, whether it's this series or they go on, the day after they will have a great record during the when the Wild are playing. The day after the Wild are done, everyone focuses on the Twins. They'll go on a 10-game losing streak.
That's very Minnesota sports fan of you. That's accurate, right?
That's very Minnesota accurate of me, because that's what happens. Now, you will be in St. Paul tonight, or is that safe to say?
No, actually, I won't. Because I've been doing the road warrior here, I end up getting, they have to give me a day off when I come back, a couple. So
oh, good for you.
Up. And I'll be back Thursday, and then I would assume if it goes back to Chicago next weekend.
Well, obviously you're not shutting down. You've continued to follow how they're doing.
I was in Chicago, yeah. And I'll watch the game tonight. I'm just physically won't be there tonight. Instead of a notepad and pen, I will probably be on my couch with a cold beverage watching the game.
I got to be honest with you. In my mind, that's the best way to watch it. It's from the comfort of your own home. Now, Dave, we have seen them come off of a 6-1 loss. They bounced back and closed out St. Louis. This is different, though. This is a team. This team comes at you in waves. And whatever issues they had against Nashville seem to have disappeared, at least for the first two games.
Yeah, what scares me a little bit about Chicago over St. Louis is that really in the first two games, the Wild didn't play terribly. You know, when they lost against St. Louis, they lost in grand fashion because they played like garbage.
That's a great
and
point.
They didn't play terribly against Chicago. It's just if you give them that little window and that little opportunity and just a slight mistake, then Chicago takes advantage of it. And what scares me if you're a Wild fan is that that's not something you can coach against. I mean, you can try to, you know, you'll hear this phrase a lot if you haven't heard it a lot already, is taking away space. And then that's what the Wild are going to try to do. They're going to try to limit the area in which the Blackhawks snipers have to work. The problem is Patrick Kane doesn't need a whole lot of room to work. Patrick Sharp doesn't need a whole lot to work. Jonathan Toews doesn't need a whole lot of room to work in. So that's why they're so difficult. If these guys, you give them one half a second with a puck on their stick in the zone where you're not in the position you're supposed to be or someone's uncovering them, they can pick a corner. And that's what we've seen through the first two games, and that's what makes them so dangerous. They are possibly, and I talked to Devin Dubnyk about this after game two, you know, as far as just pure sharpshooting scoring teams in the NHL, there might not be a better team than the Blackhawks.
That's alarming. You know what else is, Dave? I talked to Dave Schwartz from Care 11. The fact that it was Suter who turned over the puck on the first goal, the shorthanded goal, and, I mean, he didn't have, for him, a great steady game. But that's, you know, when your top guys are struggling a little bit, and, you know, everyone has an issue now and then. But that to me, when they got that goal, I'd like to see the stat. I mentioned it the other day. How many times has a team that scored the first goal was a shorthanded goal, has that team not won the game? That's such a momentum killer.
Well, it is, and it just breaks your back. You know, Suter, people keep wanting to say the plus minuses and all, you know, how he's not good in the playoffs, and he makes some mistakes. The problem is his mistakes are magnified because when you don't see him that often. I mean, the guy plays, and I know everyone, people like to jump on Ryan Suter, but he plays 25-30 minutes a night, and he's making one or two mistakes. And the problem is when you get past him in this defensive core, he is by far and away the best, right? And it's very different when you're talking about forward versus defense, because you really try to stack four lines as deep as possible when it comes to forwards. But defensively, the parity is not there as it is in the forward position. So you have Ryan Suter, Jonas Brodin, Matt Dumba. Scandella's been okay, although he's made his mistakes, and then all of a sudden you just kind of drop off. And so when Ryan Suter makes a mistake, it's magnified because he doesn't make that many. And most times when Ryan Suter's out there, he's out against the other team's best line. So he's making a mistake against a Patrick Kane, against a David Backus or a TJ Oshie, or, you know, when you make mistakes against those guys, which we've seen, they're the ones who capitalize. That's why his numbers are the way they are. And I think it's a little bit skewed. I think people really focus on it a lot. The guy's still one of the best defensemen in the game, but when he makes mistakes, he's making them very not often and against the best of the best on the other team, and then they get magnified.
Well, and let me clarify. I'm not ripping him. I'm just saying
I've heard a lot of people.
But when it happens to him, it's a bad omen.
It is a bad omen because he doesn't make them, and you absolutely have, and that's why he makes $90 million plus dollars a year, because you know, you're not supposed to make those mistakes. You know, you don't pay your top guys because they play well when they're playing garbage teams. You play your top guys because they play well against the best teams. Anyone can take on inferior competition and look great. You need those guys to be awesome against the best.
Dave, what do you think? Is this thing will it go to seven, or will these guys get back in six or seven? They have to win four in a row to make it six. But will they get back in it, or is it another year of losing and getting knocked out by Chicago?
It's really, I've grappled with this question over the past couple of days. I'm trying to listen to my head, not my heart. My heart thinks that this Wild team still has something special that will get them there. But my head tells me that this Blackhawks team is just unflappable, and it's going to be very, very hard to beat them at home. So even if it goes seven games, it's going to be really hard to beat them if you get to a seventh game in their building when they're pumped up and when they have the crowd on their side. I hate to say it, but I really think that the Blackhawks are just the better team this year. And if they get past Minnesota, I really don't know if anyone's going to stand in their way from winning a Stanley Cup, because they make the most of their opportunities, and they may not outshoot you, but they'll outscore you. I mean, listen, you shoot four shots a game and you make four of them, it doesn't matter how many shots you have, you got four goals.
Well, and Dave,
and that's why Chicago's so good.
Whatever the issues were against St. Louis for Chicago, they're gone now. I mean, this team has really got themselves, they seem to be on, and I agree with you, this team, well, let's put it this way, whoever comes out of this one very likely will win the Stanley Cup, because these are two of the best teams in hockey, but Chicago just seems to be a bit, maybe quite a bit better.
And they've been here. I mean, they've done this, and they've been through this, and there's a lot of guys in that. You know, we talk about the benefits sometimes of experience, and sometimes it can work against you, too. There's a lot of guys in that locker room who know exactly the position they're in and know exactly what the outcome was each of the last 2 years. They put up a good fight, but Chicago does this all the time. They're just made for this.
Hey, Dave, I got a question for you. What would you, okay, knowing where you're at this point in the season, you know, we're getting our butt handed to us the last two games. What do you do if you're the coach? Do you go on, is it honey or vinegar? Are you just, you know, making light of stuff? Are you barking at them? Are you just trying to reach down emotionally and, you know, man up here? What's your approach in the locker room before you come out for this game?
I think if you're Mike Gillen, I think Mike understands, too, that when you look at this team, they do have good leadership, and it starts with Zach Parise, and we all know this, that he's a guy that leads by example, and Mikko Koivu. I don't think Mike Yeo needs to get in the face of these guys and say, you got to work harder, you got to minimize the mistakes. I almost wondered after that second game if they were thinking too much about it, if they're gripping the stick too hard and that kind of thing, and those maybe if these guys almost want it too much, and they're not playing as loose as they should be. But I don't think this is the time for Mike Yeo to go in and scream and start drawing up X's and O's and rip the whole thing apart and start over. It's just getting your guys to relax and play their game and keep them confident. Because, you know, if they can at least limit their mistakes, they at least have a chance to stay in this. But if you're looking at straight both teams playing their best hockey, the edge goes to Chicago. They just have more snipers. I was looking at the roster the other night, and if you look down both rosters, you look at Chicago, there's probably five or six players on that team that if you see them alone in the zone with the puck on their stick, you're very, very nervous. You know, you got Kane, Taves, Sharp, Bickle, a number of guys that you're going to fear. When it comes to the Wild, they play well as a team, but there's not really a bunch of guys that if you look and that person's alone in the slot, you go, uh-oh, he's going to score every time. Maybe you got Parise. Maybe if Zucker's got his game there, sometimes Nino. Outside of that, pure scorers, the Wild just don't have as many. And that's the biggest problem here. They just don't match up well with the Chicago team in that way. So I don't think the answer is screaming. I think, honestly, the answer is just to try to keep them loose and let them play the game that got them where they are.
I'll tell you what, they lose tonight. There'll be plenty of screaming by fans and the owner. Dave, thanks so much. Dave Schwartz from Care 11. Great talking to you. Enjoy your couple of days off here.
I will, anytime. I'm happy to do it.
Love having you on. Thanks a lot, Dave.
All right, Bob.
Take care. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get back with the man who asked the question, Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense, HallbergDefense.com. Got the new website, spanking new, very nice. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Marsh about a few things that matter to quite a few people. We'll be right back.